Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And how about Facebook and Twitter, which are the two largest social media places on earth? How about why a bunch of people are ripping them, are down on them over the last couple of days? They have stopped people from sharing a particular article or two from the New York Post. And that article or two has something to do with emails being discovered, Hunter Biden's emails. Hunter Biden being one of the sons of the former Vice President Joe Biden, who happens to be running for president in a couple of weeks against Donald Trump. And those emails have something to do with Hunter Biden and him dealing with a company, a Ukrainian company named Burisma. And it's really shady stuff. Well, first and foremost, Hunter Biden is a guy dealing with drug addiction and sex with strippers that he knocked up, that he made pregnant, that had the baby, that said he was the father when he denied it, and then it had to come down to a DNA test, and it said, no, Hunter Biden, you are the father of this stripper's baby. And at first he wanted to not have to pay for the child, but now he is paying for the stripper's child. But that's one story. That isn't the story that the New York Post broke and that Twitter and Facebook is stopping people from sharing. The story that Twitter and Facebook are stopping people from sharing when it comes to this guy is how when his father was vice president, he did business with a Ukrainian company and he made millions of dollars off of it. And he never would have if his last name wasn't Biden. And at the time, his father wasn't the vice president of the United States. The very George Orwellian 1984 stuff that Facebook and Twitter is censoring is not letting people, regular people like you and me, share and post that story on their websites, on their platforms. is very shady. And I think Facebook and Twitter, unless they stop people from sharing this stuff, I mean, they're censoring people from sharing this stuff. Unless they stop doing that, I think Facebook and Twitter need to be broken up by the government.
I completely disagree.
Because you don't like the government.
No.
Getting involved.
No, that too, but mainly because Facebook and Twitter aren't news organizations. They're social media platforms. They shouldn't be beholden to the same standard as like CNN or MSNBC or New York Post or New York Times. They're a social media company, and they're a private company. So I don't think the government should come in and break them up, because first of all, you're not supposed to be getting your news from Facebook and Twitter anyway. If you're getting your news from Facebook and Twitter, that's on you. That's not supposed to be your main source of news. I know some people do get their news from Facebook and Twitter, but they're not supposed to be a reliable source.
But shouldn't Facebook let every American share a news story that they got out of a newspaper on their platforms?
No, it's their site. They can do whatever they want. They set the standards. Facebook and Twitter set the standards. They can do whatever they want. They are a private company. They make the rules. When you sign up, you check the little box saying, I agree with the terms and conditions of the terms of services. So since they are a private company, I'm sorry. They have the right, if they want to stop people from sharing certain articles that they feel like. It's their company. They can do it. It sucks. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think the government should come in and break them up just because their platform sucks. They have the right to suck, is what I'm saying.
Burisma is a Ukrainian natural gas company, Coleman. And there are emails that, again, Hunter Biden was being paid at least $50,000 a month by Burisma just to sit on its board. And this is why, and Hunter Biden, besides being a drug addicted alcoholic who's dealing with that, who's getting strippers pregnant, and those strippers are having his baby, that one. And he never would have gotten that gig if his father wasn't the vice president, Joe Biden. You don't think that people not being able to share that story right now on those social media platforms is very George Orwellian 1984. We're going to be keeping an eye on you, and if we don't like what you're doing, we're going to censor you. We're going to stop you from doing it.
Here's why. In George Orwell's 1984, it was the government doing that. It wasn't a private company. Facebook is a private company. They're not taking away anybody's First Amendment rights just because they're not allowing people to share certain things. People can still share it. Like, let's say that New York Times story that Facebook doesn't want you to share to other people. People can still take that story and text it directly to people. They still have other social media platforms, even though they're not as popular as Facebook and Twitter, that they can still do it with. Or people can just go to the source, go straight to the New York Times itself. There's other ways to get that information, so it shouldn't be relying on Facebook and Twitter to be the main source of your information. For instance, maybe I'm spoiling the show, but later on, we was talking about that Saved by the Bell actor, Screech. And they had an article going around on Facebook saying he died when he really didn't. Well, that was being shared on Facebook, too. But if you're getting your news from Facebook, that's one of the detriments of it. People shouldn't be getting their news from Facebook and Twitter. It's convenient to do so, but that should not be considered a reliable source of information. They are not a news organization.
They're not news organizations. But people share news stories on their platforms.
Yes, they do. And let me ask you this. How much have you ever paid for Facebook or Twitter? How much has anybody ever paid to use Facebook or Twitter?
Well, what does that have to do?
Here's why. It's a free platform. It seems weird to me that people who are using this platform completely free with no charge is trying to tell them, hey, you shouldn't be doing this and doing that. It's like, dude, they're providing you a free service. You sign up for it. You don't have to. They're not forcing anybody to use it.
And nobody has to use it. But they've always said they want to stop, quote unquote, fake news being spread on their platforms. And in the past, there has been fake news like that Screech story. That's right. Fake news. That guy is alive. But the last couple of days, there's been a story being spread on those platforms that he's dead, that he got killed, that he got beat up and killed in a prison fight. None of that is true.
Exactly.
Yet that story's being spread. But here's a real story, a story that is real. It's not fake news, that Joe Biden's son was getting paid all kinds of money while Joe Biden was a vice president. He was getting paid all kinds of money from a Ukrainian company. And his father is the reason why, even though Hunter Biden had absolutely no experience in natural gas, that company out of the Ukraine gave Hunter Biden that money because his father was the vice president. And now there are emails that have been exposed, including a picture with the email of Hunter Biden passed out with a crack pipe. But now Facebook and Twitter, Coleman, the president, the person who's in charge of Twitter, said they dropped the ball on this. Yeah. Said his own company made a mistake.
I agree.
When it came, what do you mean you agree?
They dropped the ball. I agree that they dropped the ball. Mark Zuckerberg or whatever.
Not Zuckerberg's not the one that said he dropped the ball.
Okay.
It was the Twitter.
Oh, Twitter
president, okay. Who said his company Twitter dropped the ball when it came to censoring that story from the New York Post.
David says, when you control the free flow of information, you have the ability to influence and control the way people think. These monopolies can and are influencing a presidential election. David. Yeah. This is like anything else. I mean, of course they'll have an influence, but is it up to them? Is it Facebook's responsibility to be influential to you? To me, Facebook is an entertainment platform. It wasn't meant to be a news organization. It wasn't meant to influence your life. It was meant for you to hang out with your friends and talk junk. And people have used it to spread news. People have used it to get information, but it shouldn't be, to me, it shouldn't be considered, you know, like a mainstay of your life. Facebook should not have that much influence on you.
Censoring stuff, especially true stories.
They have the right to do it, though. They have the right. It's their company. They can do whatever they want. They can literally do whatever they want.
And Coleman, the CEO of Twitter, his name is Jack Dorsey. He's apologized for Twitter and their attempt to block the Hunter Biden report.
Well, that's good on him. But is he going to change that from now on? Is it going to be able to be shareable from this point on? Like, I get it. Yeah, they should allow people to share what they want. But I don't think the government should come in and break them up just because they didn't do it. You get what I mean? Because I don't think Facebook and Twitter...
Well, the company, that's not why they want to break them up. That might be the final...
The nail in the coffin?
The straw that broke the camel's back. Democrats, not Republicans, Democrats want to break up Facebook and Twitter because they think... And Google, because they think they're too big. They think they're like Ma Bell. They think they're a monopoly. And I mean, because Facebook, they bought Instagram, and anything that starts to become competition for either Facebook, Twitter, Google, they'll just buy. And that
sounds like capitalism to me.
or monopolies.
Because the thing is, they still have other social media platforms out there. They're just not as big. You know, there'd be one thing if it was completely, like, if they dominated the entire... You know, if they dominate the entire internet, but no, they're just so big that you figure that there's still other places you can go to, like Black Planet or MySpace or whatever. But those
are
they're not as big.
They're nothing compared.
Right.
Hey, text us if you want. I mean, what do you think? I mean, it's look, what we finished talking about, it's one thing that the government wants to break up the massive tech companies. And again, the government, a part of the government, and the many high-ranking Democrats have said they want to break up the big tech companies because they're monopolies. They're just too big. And when I say that, I'm talking about Facebook. I'm talking about Twitter. I'm talking about Google. But then this story about Hunter Biden being suppressed, being censored, by Facebook, by Twitter. Now there are people saying that, look, if they're going to do things like that, they that's very Orwellian, that's very 1984. They need to be broken up if they're going to be suppressing and censoring stories like the Hunter Biden email stories that the New York Post broke this week. Then they need to be broken up. It's really, really fascinating stuff. You could text us at 260-9595 and let us know how you feel about that. What do you think about them suppressing that particular story? And you agree that they need to be broken up if they're going to be doing things like that? Coleman's not so much in agreement. You could text us at 260-9595 here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And if you're just joining us, we were talking about how the CEO of Twitter apologized for the unacceptable handling of the New York Post's Hunter Biden story. That Twitter, and his name is Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter. Wednesday night, he apologized for the way his company handled limiting the distribution of a New York Post article about emails on Hunter Biden's computer. Hunter Biden, one of the sons of Joe Biden, obviously Joe Biden running for president. But when Joe Biden was the vice president under Barack Obama, Hunter Biden got involved with a gas company out of the Ukraine, and they were paying him lots of money, even though Hunter Biden didn't have any experience when it came to the gas business. And when Joe Biden was asked about that, his son's relationship with Burisma, that's the company, the Ukrainian gas company, Joe Biden has said several times he has no information on his son's business dealings. But the problem is the New York Post just found a bunch of emails. And those emails say that Joe Biden knew about his son Hunter Biden's dealings with that Ukrainian gas company while Joe Biden was vice president. Obviously, Hunter Biden would probably have nothing to do with any of this if his father wasn't the vice president at the time, because like I mentioned, Hunter Biden has no experience in the gas industry, in the gas business. Plus, Hunter Biden has all kinds of other troubles as well with drugs and alcohol and getting strippers pregnant and things like that. And there are a bunch of people here that aren't happy that Twitter, along with Facebook, were stopping people from sharing that New York Post story. And like I mentioned, the CEO of Twitter has apologized. Jack Dorsey apologized for the way they handled that. And look, most people don't want fake news being spread on the largest social media places like Twitter and Facebook. But at the same time, is it up to those companies to tell us what news is fake and what news is real? And this New York Post story with the Hunter Biden's secret emails, that looks like, I mean, it's real news. And then that's part one of the story. And then the other thing we were talking about when we started the show this morning is how there are many people in this country, and Democrats have said they believe that the big tech companies such as Facebook, Twitter, Google, they've gotten so big, they've become monopolies, and they need to be broken up. You know, much like Teddy Roosevelt did back in the day, and more recently with companies like Ma Bell. You know, if they're monopolies, many think that they need to be broken up. We ask you to text us.
Roy says, not broken up, but regulated as a publisher. See, I disagree with that because Facebook and Twitter don't publish the news. They just allow people to share stuff. You know, Facebook doesn't have their own journalist team. They don't have their own newsroom. They just a platform where people share information and share news. People can share articles and share news, but they don't publish it themselves.
But what they say, Coleman, is they want to stop fake news from being spread. So they have a third party now that checks things. And if they believe it's fake news or they don't like it, they can just stop it from being spread. And that's what happened here with this New York Post story about Hunter Biden's secret emails.
This text says Facebook and Twitter are under Section 230, which means they cannot suppress or censor any posts. If they do, they fall under the same category as media outlets and are liable for what's posted on there. Well, I've read 230. Maybe that does apply. I'm not really sure.
It does.
DeBasti, forgive me if I'm pronouncing that wrong. I know a lot of people that cry on Facebook about how unfair they are, and somehow people just got out of Facebook jail. I say if you don't like the rules, then don't use the platform. Now, I agree with that, because nobody's forcing anybody to use Facebook. It's not like Facebook is holding a gun to their head. You know, they are, you say they are a monopoly, but a monopoly in what? What is their actual job? What do they do? You know, and who's their competition?
There's no other social media company that is nearly as big or nearly as powerful. If anything gets close to Facebook or anything, if Facebook sees something like that, they'll just buy it. And that's what they did with Instagram. That's what Facebook did with Instagram.
Mike in Indiana says, break them up. Too much controlling power. Corrupt system. But here's the thing, like, the power that they have isn't forced. Like, people are voluntarily using Facebook and Twitter. It's not like they're the government. Like, if the government was doing this, I can understand it. This is a corrupt system. They have too much power. But people are voluntarily using Facebook. They are voluntarily using Twitter. Nobody is forcing them to have this much power and influence. And I agree, they shouldn't have that much power and influence, but they're not forcing people to have it. They're giving it to them.
You know, sure. No, I hear what you're saying there.
Right. Yes, break them tech bitches up. The minute they start preferential treatment for Democrats and not allow the free flow of information, they lost their right to be a legal monopoly. Yes, but break them. Even if you broke them up, let's say you broke up Facebook into the tiny little companies. That's no guarantee that this is going to start sharing all the information all of a sudden. Now you just have individual little social media companies that's still going to stop the free flow of information just in smaller quantities than they are. So even if you break them up, it's not going to have the desired results of the free flow of information. You're just making smaller companies with the same bias.
Well, it was just wild how this one particular story from the New York Post, all of a sudden, the brakes got put on it on Facebook and Twitter. And now you've got the CEO of Twitter apologizing for that, saying that that was unacceptable.
This text says, what about Trump holding ransom on TikTok because he didn't like being talked about? Trump also threatened Facebook because he got fact-checked. It isn't a Democrat thing.
Well, that's true. And we talked about that as well, how Donald Trump wants to eliminate TikTok because they're owned by a Chinese company, the communist Chinese company that owns TikTok. And he's demanding that an American company buy that. And if an American company does not buy TikTok, he wants to eliminate it, get it out of the United States of America.
Do they block news stories from both political parties as well, or are they showing bias? Anyway, I don't use either very much at all. I don't know. And it is weird that news is synonymous with politics now. Like, when you automatically think news, you think politics. But let's say there's a story from The Onion. We know it's a parody site. We know the news is fake. Should they block The Onion, too?
Of course not.
See what I mean? So there's so much gray area in between of what's fake news, what isn't, what information can and can't. Is it a private organization? Is it a news organization? Facebook and Twitter, privately owned, can do whatever they want. That's what makes America great. That's what that last text says. But yeah, I disagree with the whole government breaking it up. And I get the frustration that, you know, we do want the free flow of information. But when I think about it, you know, Facebook is an entertainment site to me. That's what it's supposed to be. Just somewhere you share stupid stuff with your friends, where there's stupid memes. And it's not Facebook's fault that they've become like the reason or the main source of information. People didn't, like, they weren't seeking that power. People gave them that power. When they found out, well, I can share this news story to my friend real easily by just posting it on Facebook, and then that became a thing. So half the stuff that Facebook is going through as far as being threatened to be breaking up and being responsible and saying they have control and corruption, that's not what they were looking for. They were just looking for cool ways to talk to your friends, and people have imploded it into this whole, well, I get all of my news from Facebook now, and if they have fake news, they were not responsible for the power that they have.
Well, what's interesting, Coleman, is, and again, there's two things here that we were talking about. One, the story from the New York Post about Hunter Biden getting involved with this Ukrainian gas company and making all kinds of money, and his father saying the whole time that he's had nothing to do with his son Hunter's business dealings over there. But now all of a sudden that looks like that's not true, because these emails are with Ukrainian officials saying, thank you for introducing us to your father. And this is while he was vice president under Barack Obama. You know, that's one story. The other story that we were talking, I mean, if Twitter and Facebook are going to pick a side in this election, If they're gonna pick a side, I mean, that's an issue. And you're saying that, look, they're private sector companies; they can do whatever they want. And then you got the other part of the story: have they become monopolies? Have they become too big? And do they need to be broken up by the government again, much like Ma Bell and going back to Standard Oil and all of that?
Question. Will you consider the John Ostlin Morning Show a news show? You think people should rely for us for the news?
No.
But do you think people still listen to our show for the news if they can't get to it? Because we do talk about news articles, right?
We do talk about news articles, but this radio show is an entertainment radio show.
Okay. So what if we, like, said we don't want to talk about this particular story because it doesn't make good radio, and then people are texting us like, why aren't you talking about this? Why aren't you talking about this? And they feel like we're censoring a story. Do you feel like we'd be responsible for that? Like, hey, we should have talked about this, but we didn't because we didn't feel like it. We didn't think it would be entertaining. And we really just didn't want to.
No, but is Facebook isn't talking about anything. They're taking what their customers are talking about, mm-hmm, and either letting them share it or, in this particular case, censor it and block it from being shared.
So let's say we wanted to do a segment called Why Today Doesn't Suck, but our company said we can't do it. Is it on us or is it on our company? Like, do we have to listen to the rules? You get what I mean? Like you said, Facebook is just censoring something that they don't want shared. So it's kind of like our parent company telling us they don't want us to do certain segments that we want to do, but we don't. You get what I mean? So it's sort of like we you get what I'm saying? No, you confusing me?
I mean, a little bit, But anyways, I know there's a lot of people that were upset that they weren't able to share this story, that the social media outlets were censoring them, were stepping on them. And I get what you're saying, Coleman. Look, if you're not happy, just don't use Facebook. But there's no other alternative to Facebook.
All right, right quick, last one. Please ask John what Ivanka and her husband's qualifications were before they took their jobs. Thanks. Now, here's the thing. This is another argument where people say when somebody becomes president, like, what did they do before? The thing is, when you become president, you're not supposed to be, so, quote-unquote, experienced. Like, all you have to do is be a naturalized citizen. You have to be an American for, like live in America for, like, 7 years. You have to be, like, 35 years or older. That's it. You don't have to necessarily be qualified to be president. You're supposed to just be a regular dude, and if you get the votes, you are the president. You don't have to have experience in this and that and the other. You don't have to do all that. If you want to be president of the United States, you just have to meet the constitutional qualifications, and that's it. It doesn't matter whether you use a street sweeper or use a billionaire that owns casinos and hotels. So, yeah.
Well, and look, if you're going to talk about these guys' children, you look at Ivanka Trump. You just brought up, the texter just brought up Ivanka Trump. You compare her and her life's resume and her life's experiences with Hunter Biden. My God, there's not even a comparison there, is there? But I get your point. Look, there's other things we're going to talk about on the show today. I thought this was very interesting. What happened with this whole New York Post story, the Hunter Biden story. And now you got the CEO of Twitter apologizing for the way his company handled it. And wild stuff here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. A Brazilian senator whose home was raided had $5,300 hidden between his buttocks. He told cops he didn't want his mouth to write a check his butt couldn't cash. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And we know that Facebook and Twitter, they wanna stop fake news from being spread. We know that. But one story that was going around over the last couple of days, I don't know how much they stopped this story, although I know it came onto my feed. The actor who played Screech in Saved by the Bell, Dustin Diamond, was murdered in prison. That is fake news. That is not true. But it ended up on my feed. So how come I saw that? He wasn't even in prison. The actor who played Screech on the TV show Saved by the Bell, Dustin Diamond. As a matter of fact, he did do a couple of months in prison a few years ago, but he's been out for a while. It was just a satirical website that made up that story. And they put it out there. And I had a few friends who shared that story. And they said, oh, no, say it ain't so, not Screech. Hey, they got Screech, too. Screech got killed in a prison riot in the shower or something.
And that's a perfect example of why people shouldn't go to social media to get their news. Go to a quote-unquote legitimate news site. Because based on Facebook, Betty White died like 3 times this year alone. So, yeah.
But it's funny how that story got spread around, yet the New York Post story about Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, with the emails about connecting Joe Biden to Hunter Biden's business dealings in the Ukraine with a Ukrainian gas company, how they tried putting the brakes on that. Yet I saw this Screech got killed in prison story on my Facebook, and Screech wasn't even in prison recently. A few years ago, Screech did a couple of months in prison. But so Screech is alive and well, and hopefully you'll sleep better tonight, knowing that. Here on Bayou 95.7. Hey, last night, There was a high school, a local high school football game that was on ESPN2. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it coming up next. Two New Orleans high schools played on ESPN2 last night. They played football. The whole world watched. Two of our high schools. Talk about that and other things coming up on the show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Last night on ESPN2, they showed a high school football game for the whole world to see. And those two high schools are right here in New Orleans. And the reason why they showed the game is because of the sophomore quarterback on one of those teams. The game was between Newman High School and Booker T. Washington High School. And the quarterback of Newman High School is Arch Manning, the grandson of Archie Manning, the former Saints quarterback, the son of Cooper Manning, one of Archie's kids, and the nephew of Super Bowl MVP quarterbacks Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. And Arch Manning is only a sophomore. And they had him play last night. And ESPN2 showed it. And Newman easily beat Booker T. Washington High School. I think it was 55-22. They beat him by over 30 points. And the sophomore quarterback, Arch Manning, he's already 6'3".
Oh, my gosh.
Sophomore. And, you know, he looks like he's going to be something else as a quarterback. But when I was watching the game, as someone who's lived in New Orleans now going on 13 years, I've lived in the city. Sure, I noticed Arch Manning. That's why it's on television to watch that kid. But I couldn't help but thinking about the two different high schools. How they're only about 2.5 miles apart in geography, yet they are a world apart when it comes to high schools. You know, many of us know about Newman High School because that's where Arch Manning's uncles played ball, and that's where his father played ball. You know, when you look at the three Archie Manning sons, Cooper, Peyton, and Eli, I know most people talk about Peyton and Eli because they're great NFL quarterbacks, Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, Super Bowl most valuable player quarterbacks. But Cooper, the oldest brother, he was a really good high school football player too, but then he had some sort of neck injury when he got to college, and that's where his career ended. And Arch Manning is Cooper's son, like I mentioned. Most of us know, and then Peyton went on to have a great career at Newman High School, then University of Tennessee, and then Eli went on to have a great career at Newman High School uptown, and he went on to Ole Miss like his father, or like Archie. Who knows where this next generation of Manning quarterbacks, who knows where this one, Arch, is going to go to college. Again, he's only a sophomore right now in high school, so there's still a ways away there to figure out where he's going to go play high school ball.
I mean, dude's in high school. He's already been on ESPN. I mean, where do you go from there, right? You can only go up.
Yeah, and he looked real good. He played very well. But as someone who's lived in this city for a long time now, you know, I'm watching that game and I'm thinking, wow, these two high schools, like I said, even though they're only, I think, 2.5 miles geographically apart, they are worlds apart. I mean, Booker T. Washington High School, they're in the process of rebuilding it. That was the first high school in New Orleans that was open for just black high school students. It's in the worst neighborhood, the most dangerous, violent neighborhood in the city of New Orleans. It's in Central City. And Booker T. Washington, it was shut down because of Hurricane Katrina. And it's just on the way of coming back now. And it was a really, really rough high school before Hurricane Katrina. I mean, that was the high school of Central City. That was the high school. It was built in, around 1940. And that's where all of the students who lived in the Calliope housing projects went to school. The Calliope housing projects years later became the Cooper housing projects. And now, ever since it's reopened after Hurricane Katrina, it's a better high school. It's a charter public high school, but it's still, you know, in and services the worst, roughest, most violent neighborhood here in New Orleans. And then you drive up Claiborne Avenue, you drive uptown a couple of miles on Claiborne Avenue, and you make one turn, and you're uptown, and then you're at Newman High School, where it costs, what, $12,000, $15,000 a year? How much does it cost to go to Newman High School?
I don't know.
It's right around that. I think it's right around $12,000 to $15,000 a year to go to Newman High School. But then you got Booker T. Washington High School. It's a public high school, and it's in the roughest neighborhood in New Orleans, but they are rebuilding that campus. It's only a couple of blocks away from the Home Depot over there. And something else that is fascinating about that high school is when they tore it down and they started rebuilding, they left one building up. They left the auditorium up. And they are refurbishing, they're renovating that auditorium, but they left, that's the only building on that campus, Booker T. Washington High School, that they left standing. Because so many legends played in that auditorium. Louis Armstrong played in that auditorium, and many, many, many more. I mean, Ray Charles, I could go on and on and on. And that was the place where a lot of black people went and saw that those performers play. So they wanted to leave that auditorium up, even though they are renovating it. But I think it's pretty cool that they kept the building up because of its history.
That's amazing, John. It's amazing that I've lived in this city my entire life and I'm black, but you know more about the city and black history in this city than I do. I just find out, like, you taught me something.
Well,
that's amazing. Like, we always learn something new on this show.
but watching that game last night, and it was an entertaining high school football game that was on ESPN, I'm thinking to myself, wow, how different those two high schools are. And the kids, the students that go to those two high schools, and they're only separated by a couple of miles.
Somebody text in, over 20K for Newman High School.
It's over 20,000 now a year? I thought it was about 15,000. It's over $20,000 a year to go to Newman High School, And then right down the road at Booker T. Washington, it's a public school in the most dangerous neighborhood.
If I ever do have an accident and have kids, I know they're not going to Newman High School.
You're saying that?
Yes, $20,000. I'm not paying that much. Oh, somebody just texted me and said, no, it's $24K to go to Newman.
Wow, I was off. I was off. It's up to that much?
Yeah, my accidental kids will not be going to Newman High School.
But watching that game last night, I'm thinking to myself, I'm watching all these kids on Newman. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, their parents are paying big money for those kids to go there. And then I'm watching on the other side of the line of scrimmage, Booker T. Washington. It's a free public, now charter school. So it is better than it was. But
other than that, how was the game?
It was entertaining for a little while, but then Newman pulled away.
All right.
At the end, and you're thinking to yourself, well, yeah, man, if their kids are paying $20,000, $24,000 a year for those kids to go to that school.
Okay, now, all right. Somebody just said Newman is $27K, and they also asked, do you think ESPN paid each school the same? I don't know. Y'all have to make up your mind how much it is. Either way, my accidental kids ain't going. Anything over $100 a year, no. You have to take that free public school ride, man.
but it was just something, and again, they only showed the game for one reason and one reason only, in the kid's name, Arch Manning. But I was thinking about all kinds of different things while I was watching that game last night on ESPN.
Whoa.
And again, I'll finish this the way I started it. You know, those schools are only 2.5 miles apart down the road from each other, but a world of difference when it comes to those two schools and the students who go to those two schools. Hey, coming up next on the show, tomorrow here in New Orleans, we move to phase 3.2 of the reopening. It's going to help out the bars that have been closed down, but it's not really helping out all of the bars that have been closed down. There will be some live music allowed, but not fully. We will explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So at a Georgia Chick-fil-A on Monday, one of their employees saved the life of a choking baby in the drive-thru line. It happened again at Chick-fil-A. I mean, not only are their chicken sandwiches the best, I don't know about the best, but they're right up there. They're among the best. Their employees are incredible. This happened at a Chick-fil-A in Columbus, Georgia. The person working in the drive-thru line was an employee named Zach. They call him Cowboy Kakenzie. He heard frantic cries coming from one of the vehicles in the drive-thru line. He's an Eagle Scout, well, he was, and he's also CPR certified. He rushed over to the vehicle where the father of the child and another customer were attempting to get the child out of the back seat of the car. The child was choking in that back seat of the SUV. It appeared that the seatbelt had become wrapped around the child's neck. The father and another customer were unsuccessful in freeing the child, so the Chick-fil-A employee, Cowboy Kakenzie, and another employee got a pair of scissors, and they cut through the seatbelt, and they freed the child. How about that? Another story of a Chick-fil-A employee saving the life of a customer, this time a baby, who was in the drive-thru line.
So what are they going to do with the back seat now that the seatbelt's on? Because you know you can't drive without the little toddler seat in the back, but without a seatbelt, what's he going to do?
Well, they're, going to get that taken care of, Coleman. But priorities are the little baby is alive.
That's
all,
good.
All because of a Chick-fil-A employee. A good thing this father didn't go to Popeye's that day. And they got great chicken, too. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So tomorrow here in New Orleans, we move into phase 3.2 in the restoring our economy. And, you know, as I've very frustratingly have mentioned on this show over the last few weeks, while 63 of the other 64 parishes here in the state of Louisiana, they've been in phase three for a while of recovery. Here in New Orleans, we were stuck in phase two for a few extra weeks, and then we still fully haven't moved into phase three, even though our tax sheet of a mayor, LaTaxa Cantrell, she says we're in phase 3.1 and then we're moving into phase 3.2 tomorrow. But if we're not fully into phase 3, then wouldn't it be phase 2.1 and phase 2.2? How are we're not fully into phase 3 yet. But she's calling it, we're in phase 3.1 now, and starting tomorrow we move into phase 3.2. But whatever. So what does this mean?
I have no idea. I'm waiting to figure that out.
I mean, we're the only parish, Orleans Parish, is the only parish, the only one out of the 64 parishes who haven't fully moved into phase three yet, and we're the only parish out of the 64 parishes who have created sub-phases within the phases. So phase 3.2 starts tomorrow. And that means for the first time, bars will be able to serve people, but only at outdoor seating at the bars. So the bars have to have outdoor seating, and then that outdoor seating can only be 25% of capacity. Bars, and there are still, I've seen interviews and read stories with some bar owners, Coleman, who said it still won't be worth their while to reopen their bars tomorrow because they got to open everything. They got to pay all of the bills to open everything, yet they can only sit people outside of their bars at outdoor seating at 25% capacity. Also in phase 3.2, which starts tomorrow here in New Orleans, bars and venues will be able to have live music, but no vocals.
What?
You heard me. There can be live music, but there can't be any vocals because evidently I think our mayor is thinking when you sing and scream, that's a way that you can transmit coronavirus.
Okay, so there's a comedy show that was supposed to happen tonight at the Ugly Dog Saloon. And the way the Ugly Dog Saloon is set up where the stage is, you can open a garage and the audience can sit outside in benches. But the comedians will be on the stage inside of the venue with the garage door open. So technically they'll be inside while the audience is outside. So if most venues have live music and people are allowed to drink outside, but the stages are inside of the venue, why would it matter if they're singing into a microphone if the people listening to it are outside the venue looking from afar? You see what I'm saying? Like, why should it matter if you sing into a microphone if you're on stage while the people are outside of the venue drinking and enjoying it? That, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't understand that either, how in phase 3.2 there can be live music inside of a bar, yet the bar can only sit people outside and serve them alcohol and only 25% capacity, yet the band playing inside, they're allowed to play, although there can be no singing. There could be no lead vocals.
So
how's
the host of the venue supposed to introduce the band? Like through sign language? Like if they can't speak into the mic? Or what about the brass section? What about the trumpets and saxophones, the woodwinds, the clarinets, all the instruments that you need to blow into to make the sound of the music?
Like, there are no wind instruments either.
No wind.
No vocals.
Dude, this is jazz. Jazz is all saxophone. Jazz is all trumpets. Jazz is brass and tubas. So we can't have any jazz. We're supposed to break out the turntables. Is that the only music we can use?
No vocals or wind blown instruments.
Oh,
and karaoke bars. No karaoke.
This is
so they're letting. This is insanity. This is crazy. If people have to wear masks everywhere they go in the city of New Orleans, which we do, any building we want to walk into, anywhere we want to go in the city of New Orleans, we have to wear a mask. If people are wearing masks anyways, just open up the damn bars. Just open them up.
Dude, think about this. Everything that's taking a toll as far as these lockdowns and phases are concerned, it's all New Orleans culture. We can't, no brass, no wind instruments, no live, well, you can't have live music, just what, I guess, electric and bass guitar and drums, no vocals, and then bars, like that's all New Orleans culture is taking a shot, and it just seems like it's, at this point it's targeted. Like they're making it, like they're really going after New Orleans culture personally. That's what it seems like, but I'm not as conspiracy theorist.
Well, no, but this is crazy. It's phase 3.2. It starts tomorrow. Even though we're not fully into phase 3 yet, she's got 3.2. This is nuts.
So here's how the weekends are going to go. Some people are going to go out for a drink, and they're going to have their drink outside, and they're going to sit outside of a venue. Some guy's going to come up to a stage inside of the venue, and they can, I guess, peek through the windows or look through the doors or open garages and announce the name of the band via sign language since nobody can speak, and then the band is going to start playing, but it's only going to be string instruments and percussion instruments with nobody singing. So, what if... Oh, man, this is...
I mean, again, and we are the only parish...
Can strippers still strip, though? Are strip clubs open, or is it just bars?
I haven't seen anything about specifically strip clubs.
Okay.
But the bars are allowed to open tomorrow. They're only allowed to serve people at outdoor seating, and it's only 25% of the bar's capacity, or 50 people, whichever number is less. Number is fewer.
Why is this not the dumbest thing you read all week?
This should have been the dumbest thing I read all week. That's coming up. In a little under an hour.
That is literally the dumbest thing I heard this entire year. No vocals. Live music, but no vocals, man.
Or wind instruments. And karaoke. No karaoke in bars. And if a bar happens to be just a karaoke bar, it can't be open. So this starts tomorrow in phase 3.2. Again, we're the only city, the only parish in the state of Louisiana who's going through any of this right now. Any of this. The rules are a lot more relaxed everywhere else.
I was about to say, I thought you were about to say in the world, no.
Everywhere else in the state of Louisiana, except for here. So get set for phase 3.2 starting tomorrow. That is one of the dumbest things that I've ever read, but that's not our dumbest thing I read all week. That's coming up. And coming up next, wait till you hear how a woman was woken up on a Delta flight recently. I don't know if I fully believe her. I'm going to tell you the story, and you tell me if you believe her. That's coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds.
What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds?
Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs.
Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. I saw this story, and at first I didn't believe it, but then I did believe it, and I'll explain why. I've never seen a headline like this before. Delta passenger says she woke up to pastor peeing on her. No, no. Airlines passenger said she woke up mid-flight to a pastor relieving himself on her on the plane. Alicia Beverly said she dozed off in the back seat of a red-eye flight this past Monday night from Las Vegas to Detroit before she was woken up by a strange sensation.
Detroiter Alicia Beverly could not wait to get back, ironically, from Sin City.
It was just a girls trip. I was with my sister.
Did you guys have fun?
Yeah. Have fun.
Alicia was asleep until
it started to get warm on this side of me. I jump up and I seen his private area out, so I screamed and that woke everybody on the plane up. By the time I actually looked at him and I see him shaking himself off, I'm like, this man just peed on me.
Her scream getting the attention of an off-duty officer on board.
In the midst of me doing all that, I looked, it was like a puddle of pee in the seat.
Alicia says the officer rushed over, restraining the man, who turned out to be a well-known pastor from North Carolina. Sources tell us the pastor had an apparent bad reaction to a sleep aid.
He didn't say anything the whole time he was standing there.
Alicia sat in those wet clothes for hours before landing at Detroit Metro, where the pastor was taken into custody.
It's a fairly long flight from Las Vegas to Detroit. In a few hours, maybe, 3 hours maybe? And if you got to sit for at least half of that time, soaked in urine, wouldn't be fun.
Here's the thing. The pastor claims that he had a bad reaction to some medication, right?
Well, to a sleep aid. Because a lot of people call him, and a lot of people, when they get on the plane, they'll take something to help them go to sleep.
Right.
Well, evidently, that's what this pastor did. And he's saying that he had a bad reaction. So his reaction, his bad reaction to taking a sleep aid, something that helps him sleep, his bad reaction was to get up, stand up, find a woman, unzip his pants, and then pee on her.
Yeah, I've had plenty of bad reactions to certain alcohol, but I usually just, you know, my pants. I don't actually have to stand up and take my buckle off and unzip. And then isn't a bad reaction to a sleep aid, you just sleep longer or you wake up?
You can have several different bad reactions to sleep aids, but I've never heard of this particular bad reaction to a sleep aid. I mean, you would think if, okay, a bad reaction to a sleep aid, it makes me urinate. So I'd get up and I'd maybe go find the bathroom, but I wouldn't find a woman sitting near me to then go stand next to, unzip my pants, and then just start urinating on her.
Unless he felt like he couldn't make it all the way. He was trying to make it. You know, sometimes airplanes can be crowded, and if he was sitting at a window seat, he had to get past three people just to get to the aisle, and maybe he looked at the aisle line and said that there was already a line. But at the same time, just keep it in your pants.
Well, this woman, she said that she is still suffering from high anxiety from that horrifying incident. I mean, that's awful. I mean, you're on an airplane, you're sleeping, and the next thing you know, you wake up and there's some guy who's standing there urinating on you.
What's been going on with priests and pastors this past week, man? I was getting into kind of some kind of trouble.
You think what do you think Delta's responsibility is here as an airline? I mean, you've got a couple of customers. One of them is saying he's having a bad reaction to a sleep aid.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one got peed on.
I'm not too sure what the protocol is for that one. I guess I would ban the pastor from any further flights. And, we have a text that says, Lonnie says, Ambien has been known to cause sleepwalking.
Okay.
So that seems logical. And the story does say the pastor wasn't formally charged yet because the FBI, they handle crimes done in flight. So we're waiting on the FBI to actually... Oh, here's another one. Steven from Picayune. Ambien will do it. I woke up before laying in my yard, read up on the side effects. So the pastor may have a legitimate argument. Maybe he was on Ambien, and Ambien caused him to sleepwalk. And
does this woman deserve anything?
An apology at least, right? You would think. Plus maybe a replacement for her clothes. I mean, the guy peed on her clothes.
But if you get on an airplane, mm-hmm, and you're asleep and you get woken up because another one of the travelers on the airplane is peeing on you, do you deserve anything? I mean,
yes.
I'm trying to look at this from all angles.
All right.
I mean, Delta, it's not their fault.
No, I'm not saying
it happened on their plane.
I'm not saying she deserves anything from Delta flights. I'm saying she deserves something from the pastor that peed on her. That's what I'm saying. She deserves something from the pastor. Apology, a handshake, maybe a replacement of jeans and clothes, a hug at least. Like, hey, I'm sorry. She does deserve something from the pastor. The pastor made a mistake. I get it, even though it may not have been intentional. Maybe he really did have a bad response to the Ambien, and that caused him to sleepwalk and pull his junk on to pee on her, but... once he gets back to his normal state of mind, he should at least call and say, hey, I didn't mean it or something. Of course he deserves something.
We don't know if it was Ambien exactly that he took. All it says in the story is a sleep aid.
Right. Right.
So he's, the urinator is blaming the pill that he took, the sleep aid. But here's this poor woman who was peed on while she was sleeping on the Delta flight. And
not only that, I think the pastor owes Delta something, because now they have to clean the urine from the seats in the aisle that he peed on. So not only does he owe the woman something, he also owes Delta Airlines for I don't know, replacement parts for the seat, because I don't know if they're going to just disinfect the seat or take the complete seat out, but that's more work. Imagine you being the stewardess, and then when the fight's over, you have to come clean up the seats for the next people that's coming in to the flight. Like, what's the protocol for a situation like that?
I feel bad for Ms. Beverly, the woman here, Alicia Beverly. What did she have to sit? At least an hour, if not an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. She had to sit there on the plane in clothes, wearing those clothes that she were peed on.
Yep, and then she had to take the whole flight in the same clothes, get out of the airport, and had to get into a car home. Yeah, that was a rough trip.
In urine. Well, we do all kinds of stories all the time on this radio show, and I never thought that I would see a story where an airline passenger was woken up because someone was peeing on her. And that someone happened to be a pastor from North Carolina who's blaming a sleep aid that he took. So nobody's saying it didn't happen.
Right.
This woman is pissed off, and she's... pissed off because she was pissed on.
I should have saw that one coming 3,000 miles away.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. A mayor in Tennessee just resigned his job because he was arrested for shoplifting at Target. Fairview, Tennessee, mayor of Fairview His name is John Blade. He's 53 years old. He just submitted his resignation after he was arrested for stealing from a Target store. Now, the Target store he stole from was not in the same town where he's the mayor. It wasn't in a Target in Fairview. I don't even know if they have a Target store in Fairview, Tennessee. But it was in a Target store in Spring Hill, Tennessee. He walked up to one of the self-checkout lines. I love the self-checkout lines. They have them in Walmart now. They're great. But the problem is, he didn't pay for everything that he had in the self-checkout line. And he walked out with $281 worth of stolen merchandise. The goods included more than 40 household items, including three tweezers and skin products.
The hell's going on with him? He needs three tweezers?
I don't know what's going on with him. Well, he's got more issues than whatever he needed three tweezers for, Coleman, because he's the sitting mayor of a town, and he was arrested for stealing $281 worth of merchandise from a Target store. So he resigned effective immediately. And the deputy mayor took over, and she will be mayor now for the remaining 2 years that he was supposed to be mayor. Their next election isn't until 2022.
So he didn't try to I forgot that this item was in my basket ordeal or nothing like that. He didn't say, I forgot to swipe it because I had so much stuff in my basket I didn't see it. But had I known, he just...
No, he didn't.
He
didn't make up any excuse. He actually walked out of the Target, but they caught him on video. And they said, look, wait a minute, isn't that the mayor of Fairview? And when they caught him and they busted him, he resigned.
Three tweezers and skincare products. I wonder what's going on with this guy's body that maybe he was too embarrassed to pay for it or something like that. That's an odd combination of stuff. Three tweezers? Three?
And there was about 40 total items that he stole. Those just happened to be a few of them.
Mm.
But at least he didn't lie. At least you caught me. I resign as mayor. Much like the pastor from North Carolina who urinated on the woman on the Delta flight. He didn't say, well, no, I didn't do it. No, he did it. He just blamed a sleep aid.
Yeah.
So at least people are being honest. Hey, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all week. And this is under the category of a ripoff. That's next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, and it's the time of our show. And since it's Friday, where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all week. Ralph Lauren is selling designer paint-splattered overalls for $695.
Say what?
And I've got a picture of these things on our website at bayou957.com. They're overalls, but they're overalls with sleeves. So you would it's basically like a denim jumpsuit. But because Ralph Lauren makes it, he's known for being very fashionable. And they on both the front and the back, they've got paint. There's splatters of paint all up and down the front side and the back side of these overalls. And he's selling them for $695. And Coleman, I bet you some people will buy this when you can just go out and buy a cheap pair of overalls and buy some paint for a lot cheaper, and you could put your own paint on your own overalls, but $695, this could be yours.
I'm trying to figure out what was going on in the pitch meeting when somebody decided that this was the move that they should decide to take when it comes to Ralph Lauren products. Who decided, you know what? How about we see that guy right there that's painting, since we're doing a contract and remodeling the building? Let's get that guy's look. Like, just the average look that you can get by just having a regular 9-to-5 contracting job, they decided to do that and charge you $600 for it?
Well, this is pretty much the same thing, Coleman, as people buying ripped blue jeans.
Right.
Because people do that.
Yes, they buy ripped blue jeans.
You could go into a store, you can go online, and you can find blue jeans that have holes in the, by their knees and other parts of the pants, and you could actually buy ripped pants.
They have denim jeans now that comes already faded, like worn and faded denim, and it's like a look. Instead of just waiting to have to fade the jeans naturally, you can get them pre-faded.
Luxury fashion brand designer Ralph Lauren, or is it Lauren, has been slammed and ridiculed online for selling paint-covered overalls for $695.
And he should be.
Just usually, one pair.
Usually I'm against the Twitter outrage, but this one is justifiable. Yeah, sick him, Internet, sick him.
I mean, if you're going to spend just under $700 per pair of designer overalls, I didn't know there was such a thing. Designer overalls. You'd at least want them to look expensive. Well, not here again. And I've never seen overalls like this. When I used to think about overalls, I don't have any, but I just used to think of, you put on a pair of jeans and then basically they have straps.
Oh, you think about suspenders.
That are attached to them that go over your shoulders. I always thought those were overalls.
No, overalls is exactly how it sounds. It goes over all of your clothing. See, that's why they call it overall. If they had the suspenders on, it's not really going overall. That's like, I forget what they call those two, but yeah. Overalls is actually overall. I have an idea, business proposition, John. How about we make some denim clothing and we put like stains on it, like we eat barbecue, just wipes our hands on it, and maybe some vomit stains from whenever I'm hungover, and then maybe some barbecue stains, some steak sauce stains, and we sell those for about $800 a rip. Food stained denim clothes. You in or you not?
I don't think anybody would buy that from a couple of idiots who have a radio show.
We'll just give ourselves a fancy name like Jabouzioua or something like that, and instead of John and Coleman. Of course, that's never going to sell. You have to have a fancy French-sounding name, and then, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at these overalls, and look, you could look at them too. Again, I've got the picture of these things on our website at bayou957.com. I mean, they look okay, but they don't look like they're worth $700. There's no way I would pay $695. I don't think I'd pay $695 for these overalls without the paint splatter.
Dude, for $60, you can get the overalls and the paint from Walmart and do it yourself.
Yeah, that's the way I go. Well, anyways, luxury fashion brand Ralph Lauren, being slammed and ridiculed for selling a pair of paint-covered overalls, just one pair, for $695. It's the dumbest thing I read and the dumbest thing I saw all week.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points. And may God have mercy on your soul.
And what you just heard was from an Adam Sandler movie. And coming up next, I'm going to tell you about a woman who lost a very big job because of an Adam Sandler movie. That's next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So this news anchor in Boston just lost her job because she appeared in the new Adam Sandler movie. Adam Sandler had a movie that just came out on Netflix. It was a Netflix movie called Hubie Halloween. And this, one of the characters in that movie, and she played a news anchor as well. She worked for, she was the morning host of a morning news show in Boston. And that's exactly what this woman did in real life. Her name's Elena Pinto. And for the last 4 years, she was a morning anchor at one of the big stations, one of the big networks up there in Boston. And when they found out she was in the movie, when they saw her in the movie, they fired her. Again, after 4 years. after 4 years, because she violated her contract. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yes, it is.
I mean, you're a morning television news anchor in Boston. You're making $250,000 a year, $300,000 a year, something like that. And evidently in her contract, she would have had to tell her bosses, or at least ask her bosses, hey, can I make a cameo appearance in this movie? She didn't do that. And she lost her job.
Yeah, she probably thought they wasn't going to find out about it because, one, it's a short cameo. Two, she was dressed up in a Halloween costume as Harley Quinn. And three, it went straight to Netflix. So she was probably thinking, what are the odds that my employers would recognize me in this movie?
Can you imagine losing your job? I mean, a big job, too, because you did a cameo in an Adam Sandler movie, an Adam Sandler Netflix movie.
Now she can, I guess, get cast for other movies. Now that she lost a job, she can fulfill her dreams. She could be like, hey, I was in that Adam Sandler movie once. I got fired from it. How about you put me in another role and I can actually act and do some stuff? It shouldn't be hard to bounce back from this one.
Yeah, she tweeted this week. She said, I was let go from 7 News. I am posting this because I want to be open and honest with all of you. Last year, I participated in a cameo in the recently released Netflix movie by Adam Sandler, Hubie Halloween. And she didn't tell her bosses or she didn't tell anybody, and she violated her contract.
I guarantee you she will find employment within the next 2 weeks. Have you seen her?
Yeah,
she's a babe.
I'm quite sure another news company, another news network, or even people that saw her in the original cameo. I mean, she made an Adam Sandler cameo appearance, so she's on somebody's radar out there in Hollywood. So she won't be unemployed for long.
Maybe, hopefully, Adam Sandler might help her out.
Mm-hmm.
Lord knows he's got the cash. Yeah, are you a big Adam Sandler fan?
Not necessarily. Maybe one or two movies I kind of like, but him as an actor just seemed kind of childish to me, like really slapsticky. And
yeah, I mean, I love Happy Gilmore. I love Billy Madison.
Mm-hmm.
I guess The Wedding Singer, some people say that's the best movie he ever made.
The only Adam Sandler movie that I like is the remake of The Longest Yard. It was
you
a remake.
Like that?
Yeah.
It was the, see,
it was
I like the original Longest Yard a lot better.
Yeah, me too. I like the original one better. Was it Burt Reynolds? And, yeah. But the remake was okay. I guess because there was a lot of wrestling and appearances, and that kind of got me.
Well, there's a really attractive woman, news anchor woman, who's looking for work right now. Her name's Elena Pinto, and she just she lost her gig for.
Don't you think this John Oslin morning show needs a female voice and just kind of break the monotony and change the dynamic? Like, I'll still produce it, you do the hosting, and just have a female perspective. Maybe right there on that microphone, we can get a little, you know, maybe a former news anchor to sit with us. And
Coleman, I'd love having this woman in this little studio every morning, but don't you wait a minute? It takes money.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you want more money?
Yeah,
I know I want more money. You think we have money to bring this really attractive woman to sit in the studio?
Maybe not.
She is really easy on the eyes, though. Hey, it's our commercial free ride right now. We're in it. We're in it now. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.